So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Hello and welcome to your bi-weekly dose of lightsabers, infinity stones, and all things plastic. This is episode 75 of the Twi'al Podcast. I'm your host, Dave Shaw, all the way out in Chandler, Arizona. And my good pal, my dear friend, our correspondent out in Nashville, Kevin, what's a chopper? You're in the helicopter, right? What's weather like over there?
That's right, Dave. Thanks for getting back to me here in Nashville, where we have some pop-up showers that are hitting the area. I'm excited to announce that I did get back from Whataburger recently before the showers. So we have some Whataburger in the vicinity, as well as some showers trying to wet that yard. But yeah, man, we are excited to be back here for episode 75 of the podcast.
Yeah,
man, that's quite a few.
You know what? Whataburger, they get grandfather. They get a permanent free ad. Like we'll bump Whataburger on Twi'al Podcast here all day long. I know the same goes for J. Rue and the boys over at the Geek Out Show. But yeah, Whataburger gang is real, man.
Yeah, let's rep the orange and white pinstripes. Obviously, you know, a little bit of a Bengals reference as well.
Yeah,
you know, I can wear my Whataburger gear to my Bengals games and it's going to be great.
And they have merch. Like they have like some nice shirts.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
They're always bomb. I thought I saw some like slides you could even get. I was like, okay,
yeah, man. Whataburger junkie 66 right here.
I love it, man. Well, we got a big show today, dude. We'll go through the rundown, but we got, you know, the pickups. Kevin's got some, he was alluding to some Grail type action that he got over at his place. So looking forward to hear about that. Yojo June breakdown. You know, we got the His Tank convention that I'm going to this weekend called Arizona Mad Monster, or sorry, just Mad Monster. We're going to pour one out for the DTOF, a $5,000 Star Wars drink. Okay. Some ICCC coverage and drive-in movie theaters.
Yeah. This one's going to be a good one, man. For sure.
It's packed to the gills, baby. So let's kick it
packed
off.
Packed higher than a double Whataburger.
Oh my God. Number two, add cheese. Come on now.
There we go.
All right. So give the listeners a breakdown. This is about you did an Instagram post with six items.
I did, yeah.
So talk about that.
So apparently, Dave, you understood what I was trying to say. That's exciting. So I posted last week, or maybe it was actually early, I don't know. Anyway, I put it on my story and I said, excited to add some pieces to the collection. I want to tease a little bit because, you know, a little bit of engagement's fun, you know, on the social media apps, since I never get engagement on there nowadays. You got to kind of really work for it, really, really hoe yourself out. With that being said, I said, okay, let's play a little game here. Here are six pieces in the collection. I said, all I'm going to say are their names. And so I said, there's one through six here. Number one was my Blitzway Ghostbusters, all the way down to number six being Han and Chewie. And then three and four were left blank. Now, Dave, you understood that to mean that, wow, they're obviously something of substance because you listed some heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters.
Yeah.
The fact that you had those two slots above the Han and Chewie, I was like, okay. Like I knew you were going to have the Blitzway because I think that's,
yeah, to this day is the biggest single purchase I've ever had.
Yeah, like that's like your you know, Kremla, whatever that fucking word is.
Yeah, the tip of the pyramid.
There you go. We'll go with that one. But yeah, I was left dumbfounded. I could not think of what would kind of fit in between those.
Yeah, and so I will tell and reveal all. But I had so many people like respond, which is good. But they'd say three. Six. I'm like, I don't think you're understanding what I'm asking. Yeah. And so what I had done is that I listed one through six on the, not what I paid, but the current market value for these figures. So naturally that's what I was hinting at. And so, yeah, I had some big current high value market figures that were coming in that I was able to manipulate through some eBay deals, but man, I'm so excited to share these with you. That was my, I guess, ... leading up to it. We got the plane in the air. Do you want to share anything or you want me to jump right into it?
Jump right into it.
Okay. So these are some very hard to find pieces. They are the last of a line. They are the final figures that they ever did, essentially. And I'm talking about, Dave,
Indiana Jones.
No. Okay. Good guess, though. Still under the Disney umbrella, of course. But these are the final clones that Sideshow ever did, the final batch. And they are very hard to find. They're very, very exclusive. So exclusive, in fact, there's even a sub-exclusivity of a exclusive within the exclusives, if that makes any sense at all. So are you ready for this?
Yes.
I'm here today to tell you that I'm the proud owners of some fucking ARC troopers. Okay.
Oh, wow, man.
So nice. We'll start at the bottom. We have ARC Trooper Echo. Okay. Which is beautiful. I mean, the ARC Trooper design is sick. I mean, the blue and white, but this is one of the classic clones. And I mean, this is the guy from the Bad Batch who you think is dead, you know, spoiler. Sorry about that, guys. So we have Echo officially added, and who would he be without his brother? The Sideshow exclusive ARC Trooper Fives. Look at that Sideshow exclusive sticker there. It comes with a very special Fives base, which is kind of cool, but yeah, those are the final Sideshow clones that they ever did of the military masterpieces. They're very, very limited. And then they just stopped. And so obviously the popularity of the clones makes them what they are, who those clones are, and then the limited run of them make them very cool. So yes, I was able to work out a deal with this guy on eBay who was just kind of purging his collection. And he had these listed for a very fair under market value offering, but he also had other things. Dave, you know, naturally,
okay, Kiko bundle,
gotta get the bundle, babe. Yeah, you gotta get the Kiko bundle. And so I'm like, okay, my man, I'm interested in the ARC troopers. What else can we do? I want some of the other things there. So I will volley back to you and we'll wrap up with my stuff in just a second.
Oh man, that's exciting, dude. I can't wait.
I'm pretty excited about this, man.
Yeah, like are you already kind of thinking about, oh shit, because that probably throws a wrench in the gears for your shelf presence, you know? Like, are you got to put those two together, but like you probably don't have just an empty DTOF, you know, with space right now.
Well, I you're right, because you're in depth with all the layout of my display and what I have to offer. As you know, if you remember, Gizmo had his own shelf. Okay. So I was like, okay, I hate to do it, but Gizmo is getting bumped. He's not taking his own shelf. So I moved him down with Bumblebee and Optimus. So not the greatest combination, but they still look cute together and, you know, whatever. And opened up that shelf to put, you know, those two up there. They're right above my quarter scale Vader. So, you know, still kind of looks kind of cool. And then there is a third figure sitting with them, which I'll get to in a second.
All right, man. For me, yeah, I was hoping to have, was expecting three packages today via Hasbro Pulse, and I just got the, you know, coming tomorrow delayed email, so I'll be able to share that next time. But it was mostly all my G.I. Joe classified pre-orders that are finally starting to ship. I know there's been a lot of people complaining about, you know, I think some figures have been over a year, you know, on pre-order. And I got the Croc Master is coming. Can't wait to get that one. That's probably going to end
up. We talked about that last year. I know how about excited we were about that.
I mean, just the fact that we're getting a 6-inch scale alligator, articulated alligator.
A fucking gator. Pretty sick, right?
Pretty fucking cool, man. So yeah, really hyped about that one. And then another figure that I totally forgot, you know, like most collectors, you know, it's hard to keep up with all these pre-orders. It was the Fortnite painted Snake Eyes.
Yeah, I was not in that camp. You remember, I was not excited about
That's
it.
And right.
I thought it would. So what are your thoughts officially now that it's kind of, you know, in the ballpark now?
Well, I don't have it yet, but I am very excited to see what that looks like, because I still don't think I've seen like full package shots of it yet. Usually on those exclusives, they're very nice, like the Zartan one and the Cobra Supreme.
Hype hasn't diminished though.
I would say the hype probably has diminished just on the Fort. I don't give a fuck about Fortnite. Like, you know, like,
you're a gamer now. We said this on the last podcast.
I am a gamer now. I'm a professional gamer now, but I maybe I will get on Fortnite. I don't know. But Yeah,
no, please don't.
I don't know how I feel about that figure yet. So I'll have more on that later. And then the classic Storm Shadow. So very excited about that one. Passed on the movie one. I just wanted, just a standard, comic cartoon one. And so got that coming. But basically my only pickup is I blew you up right away. And I was like, okay, Kevin, I fucking did it again. I woke up with, your bid was, or your offer was accepted email. And I'm like, what?
That's either a great feeling or some of the worst feelings in the world.
It could be pretty scary, right? If you're just like, just kind of throwing bids out there, just for the hell of it.
I mean, how often, Dave? I mean, you and I are both guilty of this. I mean, how often do you submit a bid? You're the high bidder. And then you're kind of hoping that you get outbid. How often do you do that?
I wouldn't say it's often, but I definitely experience those thoughts sometimes. Like, but yeah, more than not, I'm bidding because I want to win,
Yeah, because sometimes during those impulse moments, like I'll bid and I go way higher than I thought I would. And I'm like, oh, fuck, come on, just please, come on, please outbid me. It's like 3-2, you've been outbid. I'm like, fuck yes, I won, which means I lost.
Yeah, yeah, you'll lose. Yeah, I think I've been into a few of those situations where like, say I'm like, okay, like I don't want to spend any more than like, say $20 for this, but it's got like a low bid or no bids at the time. So I'm just going to throw down like whatever, say $6 or something. And then you start kind of, someone comes in a couple hours.
Snipe, yeah.
Yeah. Trying to snipe, but they kind of show their hand too early and they get on your radar like 4 hours before. And then that's when you start going back and forth. And that's when it's like, oh shit. Like I just threw down another $10 max bid, but like, I'm just doing that because I want to win against this guy,
Oh, classic. But yeah, so I think I interrupted you. Tell us what you finally got after you actually won.
So I've been looking for a very specific VCR model. It's an old JVC. It's actually, are you a fan of the Goldbergs, the TV show?
See, I was starting to get into it and then I faded away.
Okay. Well, it's, if you can remember, if you can picture your eyes and remember that intro, it's that VCR. It's a JVC HR 7100 something. And it has very beautiful colored buttons.
Right. I know. I love it. The bright blues, the yellows, the reds.
It's great. Good. And it's in, I got it right away. It was actually in state. So I got it the next day, which is always nice. And, yeah, it's in for the shape is immaculate shape. However, it periodically eats tape. So I already got it open, started playing around with it. So more on that later. I think I need some new belts, but I'm hoping that I can get this up and running because for what I paid for it, and what it's worth, like to get like a working one, I got a huge steal on it. So it looks good. So hopefully I can get that motherfucker working because
it's going to be like one of those Pimp My Rides where you basically get like a $30 car and turn it into like a $40,000 luxury thing. Are you going to do that with this VCR? Just like pimp it to where it is like finally up and running? Cause you're talking about new belts and stuff. That's kind of intense.
Yeah. I'm going to put a new exhaust system on it. I'm not going to just toss money into this thing, but the belts are pretty cheap. So We'll see, man. I'm just hoping, and it might not even be my daily driver. You know what I mean? It's kind of a show machine,
Yeah. But I do have to ask one more question.
Yeah.
For these belts, man, it's not like these are readily available. Where do you get these belts? Do you have a Radio Shack that's still in business in Chandler there, or where are you getting these things?
This is, I don't know, man. It's going to have to be, hitting the Etsy's, I don't know, man. So
you're going to have to go to the multiverse to find these.
Oh boy. Maybe I can go to, just pipe into the new Stranger Things, season. Go to that. Yeah. But, okay. You bring it home, man. What's this other piece then?
Yeah.
So those are pretty big.
Yeah. And it doesn't obviously fall into that category, but it's still a rarish clone that looks good with them. And it's still one of the exclusive ones. Do you remember, Dave, when we were walking the halls of old Star Wars Celebration, my man was pumping his like $1,500 blue coat Han and his $1,200 Commander Wolf. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's the $1,200 Commander Wolf that we got for the top, the price that I assumed that you could get him for. You remember that?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no way anyone's paying $1,200 for this. Either way, I was able to package the Commander Wolf. I actually took a picture on Instagram today and threw him up there. So feel free to check that out on the old Kiko Collects Instagram page. Got Commander Wolf. So he is flanked by those two ARC troopers and they look sick. So I'm happy to say added some Sideshow clones that who knows if Hot Toys is ever really going to make them. I mean, right. at best, they may be 2 years out. And at the rate they're going, I mean, I know Cody.
Have it in your collection.
Yeah.
You're enjoying
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Cody and Rex are big ones. You know, Echo from Bad Batch. I mean, that they're obviously, that's popular right now. I really don't think they're going to do the deep cut clones, you know, like.
Did, am I wrong? I feel like did Sideshow in that masterclass, did they do Gree?
They did. Yeah. They did okay. Gree. They did, you know, obviously Fox, they did Wolf, they yep. did all of them, like even like some real obscure cuts. But one of the things I noticed when then we'll move on from this is that outside of Rex and Cody, and correct me if I'm wrong, if there's anybody listening out there that is the, you know, the Sideshow aficionado guru person out there. I think right now, because of from Hot Toys, they did Jesse and they did Vaughn. I don't think Sideshow ever did Jesse or Vaughn. Which makes me wonder, like, hey, you know, you have your Sideshow clones and then you have your Hot Toy clones. If you want them all, you have to go get them all from them, you know, outside yeah. of Cody and Rex, because those are the different ones. So that's my theory right now. I don't think they're going to go down the clone roster, honestly. I don't know.
It seems like it's just, you know, who doesn't like money, you know, like clones are, I mean, so hot right now. You
yeah,
know?
It's just a repaint. It's the same head sculpt yeah. with a little bit of a tweak. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm happy to have those.
All right. Well, very good, man. Is that those are your pickups then? You got anything else?
Yeah, man. That's it okay. for now. We should be good for a while, honestly. I don't expect anything just randomly showing up. I think I'm good on scratching the itch. I've recovered from Celebration. I'm not mad anymore. So I'm not just frivolously spending things.
Sure.
But yeah, we're doing good.
Okay. Well, I'm I've been kind of quiet, you know, for the last couple of weeks, purchasing wise, because I'm kind of gearing up for this Mad Monster thing that's this weekend. So that's you know, a horror convention out here in North Phoenix, Arizona. And yeah, I'm going Saturday and Sunday, and I have an autograph. I'm gonna meet Nick Castle, aka The Shape, aka Michael Myers.
That's a big one.
That's a big one, man. Obviously, I've never met him before. I have a couple others, you know, signatures. I have a really nice Halloween kind of poster that John Carpenter has signed that I'm also thinking of having Nick Castle sign. But I'm just, as of now, I'm just doing the picture kind of deal with him. And then someone else, Jeffrey Combs from, you know, Reanimator, a bunch of other movies, but one of my favorite movies, Frighteners. So I got a nice little, you know, kind of print, and I'm gonna have him sign that. And yeah,
didn't you recently get the Frightener VHS again?
Oh, I got it. I have one of my buddies was over, and he was like, dude, you have like four copies of
Frighteners. Right. I thought you'd had that. Yeah.
Well, they're all different too. Like I have, there, like one has like that lenticular, like if you look at it, it the ghost moves kind of thing. So I have that. I have a screener of it. I have just a normal copy of it, and then I have like a sealed copy of it. So
get that bad boy graded.
Oh shit, man. Yeah, make like what was that Ghostbusters movie? It sold for like
80,000 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Biff Tanner, he apparently sold like a lot of his like VHS tapes.
Yeah,
to
I
an
we're
auction
talking about
house.
That one.
Yeah. And I think that he had like a sealed copy of Back to the Future or something. And
of course he did. What a Biff move.
What a fucking Biff. Back to the Future 2 Biff for sure type move.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, man. So I'm excited about that. Definitely going to be, you know, kind of having a recap about the Mad Monster. But yeah, looking forward to that. But one thing, we owe our listeners here a recap what's going on with the Hasbro Reva's saber. So
yes, sir.
We have two Haslabs going on. One's getting ready to wrap up in 6 days. Another one just started 6 days ago, probably. I mean, it has 41.
I'm sure the numbers are very comparable, right?
Very comparable. Yeah, a knot. So 41 days left on that. So last episode on the Toy Aisle podcast, so 2 weeks ago, we were at, for backers on Reva's lightsaber, we were at 1,096. We are currently at, with 6 days down to go, we're at 1,315. So
wow, it's not looking too hot, man.
It's stalled. I mean, are we even gonna get kind of like, what are you thinking this is gonna finish at? I mean, it needs 5,000. Do you think we're gonna even get over 2K when it's all said and done?
Not a chance in hell, man. I mean, you said that, I guess in the past 2 weeks it's had 300 backers total. Well, I know when you're getting ready to read these results for the other HasLab, it's just insane to know that how many backers jumped onto G.I. Joe and how few are backing this. And it is not a franchise issue. It is the product issue, you know, because it's not that people are like, oh, I don't got the money to put forward. Obviously people do, because when you get the number, you know, you're going to see that in just a minute. But man, I don't think it's going to even break, you know, 1500. And I think that's going to be a massive, massive black eye for the HasLab Star Wars team. And that's now two Black Series HasLabs that are going to just tank. And I, if you've seen Obi-Wan, you know the classic meme of the Inquisitor walking up saying hello. That's essentially what the Cookie Monster is about to be seeing to Reva in just a minute, when it doesn't back. Hello, welcome to our, essentially the trash pit of failed HasLabs. Very sad.
It's just really interesting. You know, a couple years ago, you know, if you asked me, you know, what's kind of the bread and butter, what's the gravy train for Hasbro, I was obviously biased, but like, it just seemed like Star Wars Black Series.
I mean, we said that on the podcast.
Yeah, it's just that's kind of the line. It's the line for collectors, even though it's not the true scale that's kind of birthed collectors, if you will. It's just what seemed to be selling and seemed to be their focus on. And now, you know, Vintage Collection, they're doing really well. Like, they're making lots of really nice products. We saw the Jabba's throne room, you know, at display there at the booth for Celebration. And that thing was amazing. It was beautiful. All the figures that are coming out, that they're, you know, for the Obi-Wan Wednesdays or whatever. I mean, those all look fantastic too. It's just, you know, the Black Series, I think the Rancor was there. Like, that is a figure that should still be built in some way. It was just a kind of a fail on the HasLab piece. The figure seemed like it was there. The quality of this Reva, I mean, for the price point just does not match up compared to what their, you know, their existing sabers and that line cost.
It's really honest.
It would need to spin for that price.
Yeah, well, it's literally like they woke up the morning of the reveal and be like, oh shit, we forgot to make anything for HasLab. And they're like, oh, what are we going to do? And I was like, well, you know, we're going to put out Reva's lightsaber. Do you just want to call that the HasLab? Yeah, I guess so. How much should we price it? Well, how much is the single one going for? Around 270. Well, if it's double bladed, we'll just call it 500 then.
Yeah.
You know, the pricing is just so telling that they, and there's no tiers and there's nothing. It's very, very odd. And like you said, it doesn't spin, which I'm not asking to be an engineer or how that would have worked, but I mean, you got to figure that out if you're going to be a toy company. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. I just feel like if you can't make something, you know, do what it's kind of known for, then like, don't make it. Like, make it when it's right. Like, there's going to be a company, there could be a company that is going to make it spin, and that would be the one that people would want. You know,
right. No, absolutely.
But one HasLab that's just crushing it, geez, this G.I. Joe classified Cobra Hiss tank. I felt like, okay, that seems like the vehicle that could be the first vehicle in the 6-inch line. You know, I know we had a couple of the bikes so far, but like an actual vehicle. And geez, I mean, people want this thing. You can army build it. We only needed 8,000 backers, and that was met in a couple hours, it seemed like.
Yeah, like literally. It was like, I think 6 hours or something ridiculous.
Just nuts. An absolute unprecedented thing for how quickly something was backed.
Yeah, and hats off to that team for getting it together.
Oh, the hype, the excitement of it, the little promo reel, you know, the cartoon, you know, campaign that they're doing with it. Yeah, it's great. The tiers are amazing. Already locking those. We are just shy of the 14K tier, which is the third tier. So we're at 13,591 backers right now with 41 days. They said there's four tiers, the fourth tier being at 16,000. This thing will meet that very soon, I imagine.
Yeah, I expect this to finish it. This will beat the Sentinel and Galactus, which was well over 30,000. You got 40 days plus.
Yeah, and I feel like this could be a candidate for a potential like bonus tier. Like they say, hey, there's four tiers, but like they're already gonna get to that.
Yeah,
fourth
they got
tier.
30 days to figure it out. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So like I feel like the Sentinel, the Galactus, tri-headed, head. Was that called? No, that's for Sentinel, right?
No, you're right. Wait. Yeah, that's the okay. The Sentinel had the tri-head.
Okay.
Galactus had the different faces.
Okay, sorry. So that one, the Sentinel one, that seemed like a very kind of like what they did with the Yak face on the sail barge. Something that were like, hey, let's just throw an idea, you know, that we can do a little CAD drawing and just to get the more sales going before the campaign is over.
Galactus had extra heralds that they gave as well.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like this, we could still get more tiers, maybe another bonus tier after the fourth one is up. The third tier, I believe, was just another figure. So it'll be exciting to see what the fourth tier will be. A lot of people are saying some sort of attachment because it has a hitch. So, you know, it's got to be pulling something, you know, and
naturally. Now, isn't one of the tiers a female gunner or something like that?
Yes.
I didn't know if that was actually serious or not. I thought that's really cool.
That I believe is what this one at 14,000 is going to be. And so if that means that's three figures that you'd be getting with this vehicle. Okay, it's got lights. I mean, this seems, I have no problem with this $300 price point. Like
Dave, you asked me to make sure that you didn't back this. Are you trying to back into it now?
Your boy backed it. Yeah.
Did you? Dave, disappointed, man.
Yeah. No, I got excited, man. I was on the fence about it. So this is like a total like proper scenario here. I was on the fence about it, and the team got me excited. The team wanted, I'm in on the hype. I'm in on the tiers. I'm watching this thing all the time. Like, okay, what's going to be the next one? You know, like, are we there yet? Like, I'm excited about this campaign. I haven't done anything looking at the Ravik campaign since, you know, we looked at the numbers on our last episode. Like I just have there's no excitement there, you know, show's over. And that's the thing. There was also a show. Like
right?
they had the opportunity to piggyback off of the hype of this show. G.I. Joe's not even doing this. This is just like 30 years of collectors that have just been wanting a 6-inch scale, you know, G.I. Joe, his tank. And you can army build this motherfucker. So there's people that are doing what people did with the Sentinels. You're getting that repeat purchasing. So
yeah,
it's exciting. I think this will, like you said, this will blow the Sentinel, the Galactus out of the water.
And what I didn't know when you originally telling me to hold your hand and pull you back, I didn't realize you know, lights, real tread that moves and things. I didn't know that was in there.
Love that.
And so I was just like, okay, Dave, no, don't do this. Don't do this. But as much as I am disappointed that you didn't listen, I can understand why you said, you know what, this is something I can't miss, because that's the whole point of the tier system, is to get other people incentivized to keep going, into where you can say, okay, the price is fixed, but we're going to give you more goodies. And the stuff they keep adding continually gets cooler. And that's what it's all about.
And what's also nice, and I know it's not necessarily apples to apples, or you know, comparing G.I. Joe to Star Wars. I understand there's the licensee with Star Wars, you know, and Hasbro just owns G.I. Joe, so it's probably easier to work with. But what is nice is with the figures. My one complaint about the HasLabs that I have for the TVC for the Star Wars was, you know, the kind of the packaging of the figures. Jack face was fine. You know, he was on a beautiful card actually, but, and then with the Razor Crest, they just threw the Mando in a little baggie.
And we, you know, once again, know how Pence feels about that.
Yes. Yes. good call. I mean, yeah, he's absolutely right. And I'll ton of people probably feel the same way. G.I. Joe just flat out said, you're going to get your own boxes. It's going to have a number. It's, you know, it's going to be cool, in line with what you're expecting. So you completionists out there, Emily even said that. She was like, you don't want to miss this, because there's going to be a gap in your numbers then. Just brilliant. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that
doesn't cost them anything, but it scratches that itch for, you know, maybe the OCD collector or the completist collectors, you know, they're very much aware of that kind of stuff. So,
and that's so cool about the number, because I mean, as former Black Series gurus, you know, the numbers was everything, you know. Yeah. You're not about to have a gap in there. And, you know, for the Joe things, if that was decided to say, okay, yeah, I don't really need a vehicle, I don't have room for that. But now, you know, you potentially don't have a number.
Three numbers.
What are you going to do? It'd be cheaper just to back the thing as opposed to go and try to find them on, you know, eBay later. So it's brilliant. Well done.
That's a great point. And not to encourage scalping by any means, but like, you know, if someone wanted to, maybe they don't want the his tank. And I couldn't imagine why someone who's collecting G.I. Joe would not want the his tank.
Everything in there you'd want.
Yeah, but they would want the figures. You could buy another one and, you know, sell those figures and probably just make your money back and just have a free his tank, you know, just by selling the tiers.
Oh, certainly.
You know?
And you know what I'm happy about is that they're not including, you know, cardboard.
You don't want backdrops. Bones. You don't want cardboard bones.
No plastic bones. I mean, I just still can't get over that. But man, yeah, hats off to the Joe team. I mean, I'm so excited. And Dave, I know I gave you some shit, but I'm so excited that you're going to get this, because I can't wait to see, you know, in-hand pictures of it.
It's gonna be cool. Dude. And it's going to, I should have the Thunder tank from Super 7 by then. So I'll have two tanks just ready to roll out, baby. It's going to be awesome. Definitely vehicle some
junkie over here,
vehicle junkie and a space junkie. Cause I'm going to have some serious space concerns in my room, you know, with the sail barge, the Razor Crest, geez, you know, I just have a bunch of space just for HasLabs. Okay. So what else we got? All right. So let's talk about your favorite purchase, probably something that you've bought more than any thing out there that's not a toy, like repeat purchases, the D-Top. Has it? So $59, that's the price that I'm always familiar with. Is that the price that it always was when you're buying it?
So Dave, you know, I've been at this game for a little while, and when I moved to my house here 3 years ago, I said I'm done with bookcases on stuff. I want my glass displays, because I was getting into 6-scale collecting seriously. And I said, okay, I want those glass display cabinets. I think it's the best deal. So I went to my local IKEA, Cincinnati, Ohio, looked at those bad boys, and I said, okay, I'm bringing these home with me. And yes, at the time, they were $59.99. And I think I got six to start. That's, you know, okay. I bought six to start.
Just a little starter collection by six.
Well, yeah, because I was getting rid of all my bookcases and stuff. So I, you know, just started with six. Fast forward, you know, now to what we got now. It's a little more extreme. But it wasn't until I want to say maybe even 6 months ago when I had them shipped to the warehouse that I picked up here. Remember that? Instead of driving to Memphis or whatever.
Yep.
They were $79 then. And I'm like, I still think that's probably not a bad bang for your buck. I mean, it's probably the best glass cabinet you can get for.
It's always been such a good deal.
It is. And this might be a hot take or maybe an elitist form. I still think $100 for the Detolf is still a pretty good deal for a full glass cabinet.
Yep. And I agree. I mean, so that's what the price is now on IKEA, yeah. You know, so if you're looking for Detolf, they're going to set you back $100 now, get it. Obviously shit's going up. But yeah, like I'm with you on that. I've always felt $59 for a Detolf for what it is an incredible, you know, price. So the $99, yes, it's expensive because we've been so spoiled with a $59 price, but it's definitely worth that value, even at $100, I think. But yeah, wanted to pour one out to that old $59.99 Detolf price because times are changing, baby.
They are, man. And I know so many people like, well, that's it. Fuck it. I'm never getting these Detolf. Yeah. They're not getting it from me. You know, I'm going to go back to, you know, the bookcases, you know, from Target.
I'm going to go back to Walmart. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and if that's you, cool. I mean, obviously your display is your display. Do what you got to do, you know? And I'm never going to be the kind of person that says, make your display look like mine or anything like that. But keep in mind, we spend a lot of money on our figures, and I think you need to give them the best display and protection. I mean, because that's what it comes down to. I mean, yeah, they look good in there, but it's for protection, you know, as opposed to things falling. And being able to have a glass door goes a long way in the event of something happening and falling over. True yeah. story today, Dave. As I was working through, I guess, trying to move around, to put the ARC Troopers in, you know, today.
Yep.
I did the unthinkable. Oh, and wow. I'm better than this. I left a door open.
Oh, and you didn't see it?
I didn't see it. And I cracked that thing so hard to where it came off the hinge and like went back in. And would you believe that it was the display case holding the fucking Ghostbusters?
Oh.
And Venkman fell from the top. And I literally...
All the way down?
All the way... I got carpet in there, thankfully. Oh,
dude.
And his...
I'm sweating.
His boot... is off into the corner now. I thought his leg had officially snapped and broke. I thought the proton pack was disintegrated at that point, you know, because they're not the most durable. I mean, they are what they are. But I lost it. I was panicking. I was hand shaking as I was trying to put it back together, making sure it simply just popped out on his ankle. Good to go there, which by the way, I didn't know they had ankle extenders on.
That's on a very intense way to find that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so thankfully I got that put back up. But did you know, if I had that door closed, that would have kept him from falling. And I want to make sure that people know that the doors go a long way. But last thing I'll say is that with the display case, these $100, I'm not a Detolf sales by any means, but these $100 display cases, if you were to go to Majicase, which everyone's like, oh, it's got the built-in fucking lights. You're looking at $490, $520, $2,400 for the size of like 3D toss. If you wanted the size of 3D toss, it would be $2,400. That's a 17x77, I think is whatever it is. That's a lot of fucking money for something that I don't think looks that great because you can't see all the way through them. And that's the thing I love about my glass cabinets is that you can see all the way through them. So, you know, Detolf junkie over here, that's my go-to. So I still think $100 is a good steal.
Yeah, man. And back to those Maji cases, I feel like those are kind of, they really look good when it's busts, like, you know, like a proper life size, you know, chest up type bust. You know, your statues would look great in there, sure. But I don't know. I feel like the Maji cases, it's almost like a very specific type of collector that would, you know, be kind of targeted at for those. I mean, they're beautiful. The lights are obviously very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, another thing that, you know, people like to spend a lot of money on is, God, we like to pop off. I mean, this isn't as bad as
we're elitist, man.
This isn't as bad as what your boy, Dwayne Johnson did to you in Anaheim, you know.
Motherfucker.
What was it, the $37 shots of tequila or something? What was it?
$17 per shot, and obviously I consumed quite a few there, only to find out that it's cool. I'll just get my buzz boot going back on in the park. Remember, let's rewind. For those that didn't remember, I forgot that Disney is a dry park, but it is what it is.
I saw your soul leave your body when I told you that.
My soul left my body and went to the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. Okay, well, we got Disney dropped. They got in the news. I mean, they get in the news every fucking day, right? But so
sometimes
so,
not for the best things.
Yeah, like this. Yeah. So Disney has a new cruise ship called the Disney Wish. Maiden Voyage. It's Maiden Voyage is next week, and it's doing a deal in Florida. They'll go into their little private Castaway Cay Island, which is awesome. I've been there, and I had no idea that's where there's like a, what was it, like a cocaine island or something. There's like a documentary about you know, when they would, you know, smuggle drugs, you know, from Colombia to Florida. That's where they would kind of stop, in this Castaway Cay Island. Well, Disney owns it. But anyways, they got a $5,000 Star Wars drink in their hyperspace lounge on that cruise ship. Now let me tell you, do you know what's in it? Because I got the ingredients for you.
I don't know what's in it. I just saw the picture of a smoking Camtono.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, so they deliver it in the Camtono. You do not get to keep the Camtono.
Wait, so you don't even get it? All you literally get is the drink?
You don't get the Camtono, but you do, and I'll get in it. You get a lot of cool shit with it.
Okay cool. Let's hear this, man.
So, okay.
Sell me on it.
So it is called a Kyber Crystal. So, I mean,
cute.
Okay. So it comes with, it's a Camusse cognac. It's four drinks with four cups, which you get to keep the cups. You get to keep, the cups are silver plated.
That's what I was going to say. Is it plastic or crystal?
They're silver. You get to keep all four. You get a nice little Star Wars backpack, water bottle, other gifts, room decoration that is themed to the hyperspace lounge. And we didn't get into what it's actually in. Okay, so it's cognac Grand Marnier Quintessence. I don't know. I'm not much of like a bourbon guy or anything like this, so I don't know. Pappy Van Winkle's Family Reserve.
That's a fucking expensive. I didn't.
Okay,
know that.
So that's a 23-year-old bourbon. Taylor's Kingsman Edition, very old tawny port, and a Watershin Gin. And it's all served in the Camtono, which is the presentation of it. The drink is top notch. I mean, it's you could tell it's going to be an expensive drink. But here's the best thing about buying this $5,000 drink. What do you think it's going to be? And it's not anything that you get there. It's what you can get later on.
Wait, you're mind fucking me here. What?
They're giving you, and this could be fucking worth it as is, they're giving you a voucher for you and one person to visit Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
Like that's almost like that seems like, you know, the price of admission. See, right there. Okay. You know?
Yeah. Cause I did not know that was part of it, because everyone was just obviously up in arms saying, look at these people obviously feeding the shills, because, you know, blah, 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 blah. Because I didn't know if you know, but a bottle a Pappy Van Winkle is $1,300 by itself. Okay. And there's other things in there. Obviously. So perhaps they're like, okay, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Here's some sweet swag and a Camtono as experience. And here's some really fucking expensive alcohol to toast to your moment of you going to Skywalker Ranch. If you frame it like that as a voucher to go to Skywalker Ranch. Okay. I get that.
Yep. And that's kind of like, you know, it's clickbait, right? Like you see the $5,000 Disney's got a $5,000 drink, and it's like, oh, fuck that. But like, dude, you start breaking it down. I mean, it's not that crazy. I mean, I was about to say,
do you want to go halvesy?
What's the, Hyperion,
Hyperion. Yeah. The Galactic Star Cruiser.
Yeah. Like I could see that also being on there. I don't know if it actually is going to be offered on there, but it's, that seems like that's where, you know, people would buy it more so than, you know, on just a Disney cruise, because I don't, this isn't like a Star Wars specific Disney cruise. They just have this kind of extra lounge in there, but I don't know. It's pretty cool. And I just read up about the Skywalker Ranch piece and I was like, oh shit. Like, I don't even know. Cause it's not like that's something that's offered to the public, you know, like you could go and, you know, like check it out.
And
like,
so the old, so I get this. I kind of do. And I kind of dig it. Okay. I was like literally shitting on it about 15 minutes ago. So if you want to, I'm a big cruise guy. I like cruises, you know? So if you go there and, you know, you're obviously enjoying, it gives you an opportunity to have a once in a lifetime experience. And to me, I will say, let's toast to our next adventure. That's how I do it.
Sure.
You know, that's how I'd see it. And I can see myself doing, well, maybe not see myself doing that, but get enough beef eater in me and who knows what will happen. You know, I could possibly do that.
I mean,
beef eater?
I have. I mean, that was like beef eater and what's the other gin? Because that, yeah, that's gin, right?
Yeah. I like the strawberry beef eater. It's like a pink gin. It's fantastic.
And yeah, I've had that and Tanqueray and like Gatorade was, you know, like,
hell yeah.
That was like the high school party, you know,
high school, drink. Man, I was doing that like 3 years ago when I was like, I take that back, like 6 years ago before I was married again. I was like, me and my buddy Jeremy would go down to like, you know, the Titans games and like get our Gatorade bottles, but, you know, fill it up with that and be like, that way you can walk around with it. What are you drinking there, sir?
Just Gatorade.
Just really stinky Gatorade. It smells like unleaded. Yeah, man. I mean, back to this drink. Yeah, it's cool. I think it's always, you know, fun, you know, different, you know, when you know, someone, you know, like Disney does shit like this. It's cool. I've no issues with it. You got some ICCC news, man. It's
I did, man.
It's cool that, like, here's that con, like, and there's just already kind of like news trickling in. I think I might have even saw a hotel posting like, you know, here, this, you know, hotel sales are coming up. Could be wrong on that, but yeah, tell me about the venue.
So as you know, Nashville native here, we have the ICCC, which is, in my opinion, the up and coming Star Wars con. Man, you know, it's really taken off. Mike, the, you know, owner and showrunner of, you want to, whatever you want to call that, has actually become pretty decent friends, I think, with Ian McDiarmid from this. I don't know if you saw like all those things from Celebration when, you know, McDiarmid's at Galaxy's Edge and doing all that stuff. Mike's there with them. I mean, they're hanging out and they're like boys now, which is kind of cool. I mean, he's fucking friends with the Emperor. But either way, we have a new venue that is coming because it was packed.
That's what, man, he said. Yeah, it was over its size, right?
Yeah, it was like probably three times the amount of people that should have been there.
Yeah.
And so that's great. Great problems to have. The guests are continuing to get even better each year. I mean, I don't know how. I mean, obviously we have some ideas of where you can go up from, you know, Ashley Eckstein and, you know, D. Bradley Baker, McDiarmid, Anthony Daniels. I mean, there's some big stuff coming. We don't have a guest list by any means, but we officially have the dates now. And that, for anybody out there listening, and to you, Dave, is May the 26th and 28th of 2023. That is the weekend of ICCC. Now, we have a new venue coming. We don't know what that is, so it'll start to trickle, but start to pencil that time in, people, if that is your thing. If you want to see probably the outs, if you, and that's the thing, you know, Celebration is in out of the country this year. So if you want to go to the premier Star Wars conference, here you go, baby.
That's a really good idea too, right? Like, because as soon as it was,
and I guarantee you, they're going to market it as such
for sure. Yeah, it would be silly not to, because as soon as it was announced that it was going to be in Europe, I mean, you and I talked at Anaheim, like, hey, they always normally announce where the location is going to be on the last.
Yeah, we were last convinced day. It was going to Orlando.
We were, yeah, we were absolutely convinced, and I mean, like, we both were like, hey, like, if it's domestically, like, doesn't really matter where it is, like, we're probably going to be going next year, you know. And then, you know, they throw the London out there, which makes
sense.
Shout
out to our UK friends. I mean, they deserve that too.
They totally deserve that. I think it's great. Unfortunately, you know, like, we're both not going to be going to that one. But yeah, this ICCC can scratch that itch. And that's in April. So, and then early April, and then you got ICCC in late May. So there's no risk of like, oh, well, all the Star Wars talent is going to be at Celebration, or it's like, it's the weekend after. So no, there's none of that. Like, so like there's going to be a lot of there could be people, you know, that are at both of them, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exciting. 100%. So I'm excited. Be looking, follow ICCC Nashville if you want to stay up to date on that. And obviously we'll be talking about it as we get closer, but we have the dates now. So that's exciting. More to come, man.
Yeah. Nice, man. Yeah, I can't wait. I think that's going to be like my big con next year.
I mean, you have a home with me, buddy.
There, dude, I can't wait. So, you said there's a new venue. What's the venue that it's going to be at? Is that news out yet?
I've had things handed to me that are not at liberty to say yet because they've not officially announced it yet.
Right. Because obviously, like, you know, like hotel wise, like I don't want to book like a hotel, like a completely different place.
Right.
So, yeah. We'll get that all figured out. Okay. So our big segment, we wanted to do it. We were workshopping. We wanted to do some summertime type, movie experience, segment, and what better one than discuss drive-in theaters. That whole experience is something that, you know, I feel very bad for anyone that didn't get to experience that kind of as a child and whatnot, because it's such a cool experience. You know, I couldn't even, like, my kids wouldn't even be excited about it, like, if I tried explaining to them, like, hey, yeah,
we want to sit in a car.
Yeah, we're gonna sit in a car. Like, they'd be like, that sounds fucking awful. Like, why would I want to do that? I'm like, no, you don't get it. You know, you can, like, you got popcorn, you know, you listen to it on the radio. What, you know? So I get it. It's something that you got to experience it to get it. And I've had some really good memories of drive-in theaters. They don't really exist out here in Arizona. It's one thing that sucks out here. So I'm curious to hear what you have to say about them, because I feel like the Midwest area and Northeast,
a lot of amphitheaters, man.
That's probably like where drive-ins probably, came from, just capitalizing on the good weather and the summer and whatnot. So yeah, man. I mean, did your family kind of grow up on those? Did you go to all those? Was it a special occasion? Like, talk to me, man.
It's funny because it's not really a special occasion, because my dad wanted the nice air-conditioned theater. He didn't want to be in a car. Okay. So anytime that the drive-in actually came up as being an option, it was kind of the friends and the buddies, type of thing. And obviously when you're with your homies and your squad, shenanigans can ensue. I mean, that's also part of the drive-in, is the shenanigans, whether it be with your boys or, the date, whatever it may be, that's also, part of it. But it's got an intangible ambience about it. It's just so unique and almost magical. I know that sounds silly to say, but it's a fun experience. Get there when it's like the sun is setting, and that type of thing. I've never been to like a day one though. It's always like the evenings,
For sure. Yeah. I don't think I've ever done a day one either. Like, maybe it started like, we start driving in and it's still a little light, and you get the lawn chairs out and whatnot, but, yeah, dude, it's just fun. I mean, being in the car and also being out the car, like, there was a drive-in. It was probably one of the last ones. It was kind of, over by Arizona State University campus, and probably went there with my oldest sister, Denise, when I was, I wasn't able to drive. So I was probably like 14 or 15. And we would go all the time, just her and I, and we would take lawn chairs and we would, take a little jukebox and, or sometimes just leave the radio going on the car. And dude, it was badass. We would sneak in Boone's Farms, the old, those wine mixers, and
hell yeah,
just have a little fun, man. Yeah, dude, I love it. I wanted to kind of talk about, like, kind of making our drive-through festival.
It is the
it's the summer highlight, you know, that is the definition of summer, is part of the drive-in. So 100%, man, it's that time.
Yeah. It, you know, kind of thinking of, you know, I've never went to one where it was like a double feature. Have you gone to a double feature one for a drive-in?
Not, no.
Yeah.
No.
I don't really think that, like, I could, you know, sit in a car for 4 hours or 5 hours.
Right, that's asking, you know, a lot. The longest I've ever sat in a theater, honestly, was the Dark Knight trilogy when they did that. They did Batman Begins, Rises, and Dark Knight.
Sure.
And I barely made it through that, man. Barely.
Yeah, I don't think that I've ever, I think plenty of long movies, you know, like some 3 hour ones, like, you know, Braveheart and whatnot. But
Seven's pushing it, man.
Yeah. That is pushing it. But I wanted to kind of talk about, like, when I think of summertime, like you said, like you summertime and drive in theaters, right? Pretty, they go hand in hand, and just some bangers. So I came up with E.T. Okay. Great Outdoors, The Burbs, and Jaws, you know, and kind of, you know, splitting them up, you know, but the idea, like, they're all summer movies. They're all kind of, you know, they're family movies. Even Jaws is a family movie. Like, you can watch Jaws with your family. Like, you know, maybe you don't show your kids Jaws, like, you know, when they're like fucking 4 years old, like I did. But, you know, Jaws, for the most part, that belongs in a drive-thru, you know, everyone watching it and shit. So that's kind of what jumps out to me when I think of drive-ins is summer movies. But I mean, like, what do you got, man? Like, what's something that you think of?
Well, Jaws is definitely on my list. That's of my four. Have you ever seen the one where it's a drive-in, but it's a float-in and you watch Jaws in the water? Have you seen that?
Oh my God. No, but I've heard about them on like Sunsplash and shit like that. That's good. I didn't even think about that, but I would be all in on doing something like that.
My mom actually did it, and she did that last summer. Yeah, because summer's just now starting. She did that last summer with the grandkids, and they, you know, they're 10 and they think that's the coolest thing ever, you know, seeing the shark and, you know, I mean, in the water. I mean, it's cool. It's an amazing, amazing opportunity. Yeah. But Jaws is up there, whether you're in the pool or you're in the car. Jaws is definitely on there. Great call on E.T. But for me, it would definitely be, I need the original Jurassic Park. I think it's a classic. I'm going to need Back to the Future. For some reason that is part of that. That's the drive-in for me.
Back to the Future. I get it. I thought of that one too. Yep.
And then the other one, would be the first Avengers. Cause I feel like that way you can bring in some newer kids that may not want to watch the old movies, but everyone loves the Avengers, and put the original Avengers on there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great one. And that's one, I mean, like, the drive-through, like, it's not like everyone's quiet, right? You're going to drive through, there's gonna be noise all around, right? You know, it's not like, shh, quiet down, you know, like, it's a free-for-all, right?
So you're not going to watch Schindler's List.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's gonna be, you know, hollering and yelling when, you know, the cool shit happens, especially in Avengers. I mean, could you imagine, you know, seeing like Endgame and it's like on your left, people just going honking their horns.
It'd be like those Indian theaters where people just like lose their mind. I love those videos.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, man. Fuck. Yeah. I really wish. So you still, there's some still operable out by you then? Oh, you're on mute.
Yeah, one of the big ones is the Starwood Amphitheater. They turned that into a drive-in, because it used, here in Nashville, there's so many like stadiums or like outdoor concert venues that obviously don't exist anymore. Sure. So they like, what can we do to use this space? And so they converted those to drive-ins.
Smart.
So yeah. So Starwood Amphitheater is probably the main one there.
Did we talk about the Back to the Future outdoor screening in California when we were there?
Celebration. Maybe it might have been over Denny's.
So something that's been on my bucket list is to go to the Hollywood Cemetery, and so they do screenings, right? And on Sunday, the day that we're leaving, they were gonna have their first showing for the summer at Hollywood Cemetery, and it was Back to the Future. And I'm like,
of course,
that would have been like, I mean, we were both fucking torn up and exhausted.
I couldn't even stand. I could barely stand.
I couldn't imagine, you know, tripping over tombstones, you know, trying to find a spot to watch Back to the Future. I mean, but yeah, that would be a great movie to see one. I mean, that's basically a drive-in. All right, well, very cool, man. Yeah, the drive-in experience. Let's bring that back. Shout out Joe Bob Briggs, the last drive-in too. But yeah, let's move on in to Letterboxd. Dude, I see you. You're working Letterboxd now. So
what, I am. What's I'm your feeling take? Pretty good about it, man.
What's your? You've been using it for a couple of weeks now. Yeah. What's your take, man?
So I do like the Letterboxd. My thing is that I feel bad like going back to put some ratings in of old videos, you
for
know,
sure.
Just because I was like, I don't want him to think I'm watching 30 movies, you know, in one.
Yeah.
But now that I'm kind of caught up, I feel like every time I go to a movie, you know, I rate it and it shows in my activity feed. Okay, Dave watched this, Kevin watched this, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And I mean, I'm digging it. And I feel like you and I are pretty similar on like our ranking system. So it's not a surprise. I was actually I was doing my rating in bed the other day. She's like, are you doing your letterbox? I'm like, yeah, I am. I got to get this in so that way Dave can see it. So, yeah.
Well, is it kind of addicting yet? Are you at that point with it? Because it took me 2, maybe even 3 tries of using Letterboxd before I got like, oh, this is like a lot of fun. And I'm constantly like in there. I mean, even more so than Instagram probably. And like updating like my watch list. Like as soon as I see someone recommend a movie, I'm adding it to my watch list. I'm doing lists and stuff like that. So are you kind of leaning in that at all?
Not yet? That in depth. What it did is give me a little bit of an eye-opening slap in the face that, am I a hype beast? Cause I'm looking at it. Cause it gets your like ranking, you know, of like what you rate things.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm a little too generous on some films, I think, and I don't need to be doing that.
Sure.
You know? Not everything is a 4 and a 5, but the ones I've rated have been. But, you know, I think, you know, I will be fair, and I've talked about some of the worst ones on there. I specifically went to try to grab some of the worst movies to throw them on there to obviously shit on them.
Yeah.
Because I need to do that.
Okay. Well, let's, all right. You know, in this segment, we're not going to run down all the movies and stuff like that we've seen, but you know, we might use this time to talk about something's, you know, ones that stuck out to us or were stinkers or whatnot. So for me, I'll kick it off. Dude, finally saw Top Gun. I mean, we don't
Hell
have to,
yeah.
to get into it, but dude, I straight up gave that a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, agreed. Same.
It was just a well done movie. Everything about it was amazing. I thought the balance between, you know, it being an aircraft movie and a love story was perfect. You know, they didn't have the love story overtake the kind of, you know, the whole flight.
I feel like in the original one was almost a little too lovey, you know?
Sure. Yeah, this is good, man. And then the Black Phone. I gave that a 3. I was really excited about that. You know, totally got in on the hype train on that one. And, you know, the fact that it got pushed, I was pretty disappointed when it got delayed. And Ethan Hawke is having a nice little renaissance. He's in a lot of really good stuff. I'm not going to go out and be a champion for this movie and say like, oh, you got to see it. Because a lot of people are like thinking that this is like the best horror movie, you know, of 2022. And it could be, but that's just because there's not
could
a lot
have
of
have been, but I'll leave it at that.
There you go. Yeah. And it was just, I wanted more Ethan Hawke. I don't know. It was okay. Like,
yeah. And
know,
that's what I said.
Not a 10 out of 10 for me.
I need to start doing the actual reviews on there. That's the one thing I need to do on Letterboxd. But one of the things I told you is it's not a shot or not a spoiler, but it's the credits immediately say, and Ethan Hawke. And I knew, oh fuck, that means that he's not in this as much. He's
right.
You know, when you're watching A Few Good Men, it says and Jack Nicholson. You know, yeah. He obviously has a major role in that film, but he's probably got what, 10 minutes of screen time total. And that's kind of the same for Ethan Hawke in here. And I feel like if he would have been more featured and kind of fleshed out some of the whys behind his like character and did a little more character study, it could have probably been really great.
Yeah. We won't get into spoilers here, and you know, this might be something that we end up doing on some reviews on later on, but yeah, I mean, like, the cast aside from Ethan, you know, how'd you feel about it? I felt like the little girl, I don't know her name, but she stole the show for the most part. She was absolutely amazing.
Yeah. And I think I've not been shy on this either, that it's very hard for me to get into like the kid actors. Yeah. I think I've talked about that with Stranger Things and all that. This one, I felt like they were acting their age, not overacting, which is a good thing. And that's a huge thing for me. I felt like it was kids in a situation that they were trying to handle as kids. So I felt like
it
accomplished what it was supposed to do. Yes.
Very cool. I almost felt like I wish there was more. I know it's like in the late '70s, you know, but like late '70s, early '80s, you know, whatever. It's kind of all this. It's be hard to tell the difference. I don't know if it's because of Stranger Things and because they do are really good good job at kind of that world building and kind of set designs and all that stuff, that I almost wish there was they did more of that, like the obvious on the nose stuff that Stranger Things does, you know. I wanted to see like some branding and, you know, like they go to an old McDonald's, you know, like just, I don't know, something with a little more kind of, I don't know, mainstream branding in the kind of world building. But that's totally an issue on me and being just like a Stranger Things sucker right now. I fucking love
sure,
that show.
Sure, you're on the hype train right now.
I'm on the hype, dude. I mean, you got to give that a shot, man. Dude, season 4, we talked about it.
I was thinking about it. Season. If I get some time, I might get around to it.
There you go. Wrap up your letterbox. Did you have any other movies you wanted to shit on or
praise? I did. I do want to make sure to shit on the worst movie I've ever seen. The Last Jedi, obviously. But the other worst movie I've ever seen is someone that I really, really enjoy. And I think they're really good. Is Florence Pugh's Midsommar. I gave it 1.5 out of 5. I thought that movie was way over the top and kind of over the top simply to be over the top, and I don't think it accomplished what it needed to.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to seeing her in Don't Worry Darling. That's coming. That looks really good with Olivia Wilde and I think Harry Styles.
She's directing it. Olivia Wilde is directing it. Yeah.
So that looks really good. I'm sure she'll redeem herself because she's a good actress. You know,
she's amazing.
I love her and everything else, but Midsommar sucked. But the other one I did go see was Elvis. Gave that a 4 out of 5. I really wanted to see that one. My only thing I'd say is that it was beautifully shot. So good. It was just a hair long. That was just my thing for some of the pacing. But you know it was good and made an impact on you. I've been singing Elvis songs all day today.
There you go.
And so you know that it obviously struck a chord, no pun intended. And you know, that's a sign of a good movie. So I enjoyed it, just a hair long. There you go. 4 out of 5.
Yeah, 160 minutes, man. That's a long runtime. I need 90 minutes or less. That's like my ideal runtime in a movie. Anything over 120, it's just like,
well, as you know, those holiday Hallmark movies are 90 to 89 minutes.
That's so a sweet spot, man.
Yeah, so don't sleep on some of those holidays, such as Wife's Nightmare.
Oh boy, I'm with you on the kind of Hallmark, but the horror version, and that would be Creepshow. Their run times are perfect. I mean, some of them are like 40 minutes, 30 minutes. I'm like, oh, I can eat those up all day. So, okay, man. Well, that's good letterboxing. So
yeah, man,
letterbox box score. There we go. So, that's the episode. Kevin and I, we're going to be doing some stuff to kind of changing up the show here.
Some stuff behind the scenes, people.
So stay tuned on that. We're planning on kind of opening things up a little bit, and not just being, a toy channel. So more on that later. And Kevin, as always, man, this is good, dude. This is good therapy, talking shop, absolutely, bullshitting, man, about VCR tapes. You're gonna need to know like how much money I'm putting in on this VCR. Like I need to know tally for you.
Yeah, I would love to see that. It's always a pleasure with you, my man, for real.
All right, brother. Okay, and listeners, thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. We'll talk to you guys on episode 76.
Later. Peace out.